Okay, we're going to get started. Good evening. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District this September 28th, 2016. Welcome, everybody. Can I ask for a roll call vote, please, Celia?
Director Angelo?
Not a vote.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Okay, so that's one vote down. No, I'm joking. Okay, Karen, can you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Attention. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Does anybody have any adjustments, changes, anything to the agenda that they'd like to add? No? So I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda as is.
So move.
Okay. All those in favor?
I'll second first.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Abstained? Passes. And Ms. Angelo's out of town tonight, so she won't be joining us. Okay, at this time, we're going to take public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Hello, I'm John Clemens. I live in the community of Oceano. I'm just here. I just want to straighten out, you know, misinformation if the public's watching. At the last meeting, someone has said they couldn't get behind the redundancy project at the Sand District because it didn't get us any closer to recycling. Nothing could be further from the truth. That is so far off base, it's almost ridiculous. The very next step you would take from a trickling filter plant to recycling is an aeration basin. What might be in question is, how far are you willing to go? You know, are you going to go just to the aeration basin, or would you go all the way to full? It's not a question of whether or not that takes you closer to activate to recycling. It absolutely does. There's no question about it. No one be confused. Whenever the Sand District made that decision, and whenever that basin gets in closer, they'll be much closer, or probably 60% closer to doing recycling water. It's just a matter of what you would add to the aeration basin to get you to a complete recycling situation. So I just wanted to straighten that out. That's, you know, in the interest of not having false information out there, we want to try to keep things accurate in a public meeting where a bunch of people are watching. So thank you for hearing me.
First time you heard that one.
Andrew Brunet, Oceano resident, Oceano CSD candidate. I know the staff reports are coming up, but I just wanted to see if there was any status update on the 2014-2015 audit. I know it's been, I think, a meeting or two since anything's been said about it, so just wanted to see if that could be discussed tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brunet. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and on September 1st, I sent an email to John Clemens at the Sanitation District and Andrew Brunet here in Oceano, giving them something that I read to your board last meeting with regard to the projects necessary to accomplish the Oceano Drainage Project from your end, moving your utilities out of the way of the Oceano Drainage Project. When I read the list of items to your board, my concern was the cost and that you had not budgeted for moving these important infrastructures. Ms. Lucy has a copy of this, and I hope she'll share it with you. Simply forward what I got from the county to all of you. What she doesn't have, or maybe she has because she's a board member at the Sanitation District, But I just got, because I had to ask the county, is a letter to the sanitation district telling them to move some of their facilities out of the way of the Oceano Drainage Project. And we have not seen a cost associated with that or budget item for moving those facilities. What I'm asking of your board tonight is perhaps it's time to have an update on the project. You've had a very large eucalyptus tree fall, which changes the landscape some for that project. There were, as I recall, 6 trees approved for removal. Maybe one just fell. So now there's maybe 5 that need to go. But it seems to me that before you actually finally see all the approvals necessary from the FAA, et cetera, just remove the trees and see if removing that debris that falls off the eucalyptus trees there would help in the ability for that area to drain. And maybe some of this work would not have to take place. The project's approaching $4 million. $4 million on a very small project in a community that could use money in much better ways, in my opinion. I think, again, an update from the county on that project might be important. And last meeting, I also mentioned to your board the settlement that the sanitation district made is underway. It's proposed with the water board. $554,906.40 of that money is going to go to a state fund for project planning, studies, habitat restoration, and monitoring. That money would be better spent here in Oceano, maybe Grover. You are both disadvantaged communities. I would like that there's a comment period open till October 6th. I'd like to see your board or your community members participate in the comment period and ask the state that that money come back to the community.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment at this time? These are for items not on the agenda. Hearing none, I'll close public comment at this time. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything you want to add to, I guess, start at the top with, I don't think there's no response.
When we get to my general manager's report, I'd be glad to answer some of the questions that were posed.
Perfect. Okay. And I don't have the memo Ms. Tucker had in hand, so I'll attempt to get that. Okay, special presentations. Staff reports. Hi, Tony.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. For the past 2 weeks, we've had samples, 8 work orders, 5 USAs, 9 customer service calls, 2 call after hour call outs. We had lock offs. We had sewer jetting, meter reading, rereads for highs, lows, and leaks to notify customers. We actually had to raise a sewer main on Basin, which was flowing the wrong way before a new development was going to tie into it. And we basically took out the mass section of the manhole, raised the sewer main up to get the 3 degrees of flow before the new development ties in. Mm. That went really well, and grouted that all back in. We also had a new sewer lateral that had to be installed on Basin for a resident that could not use their bathrooms no longer. They actually had a honey hut on site. It showed up on a Monday. We were aware of it. We camered their lateral. There was a severe belly in it. So per ordinance, we took care of from the property line to the main, and they had a contractor come in. It was a unique situation just because of the depth of the sewer main was really shallow, and then the house tying it in, you had about 1%. So that's an 1/8 inch per foot of sewer lateral as we're putting it in. So it was a time-consuming job. It took us about 9 days in total for us, 9 working days, total of about 11, from when the honey hut showed up for us to coordinate with the homeowner. They were great, really good to work with. And the more you work with this community, the more you find out there's people like that here. Just, they were in a bad situation, but they were up spirits. You know, it was really nice to work with them. It was a challenging task for the staff in the field just because of the elevation of the sewer main in the house. Everything went really well. We even coordinated with the contractor and tied in together. It was a good effort that you guys allow us to do that, the laterals from the property line to the main. And also there was a fire at the card room, which you're aware of. We assisted with the cleanup of the debris and coordination with Five Cities Fire Authority. It was like one big family out there. It was really exciting to work with them. Enjoyed it very much. We secured the area with caution tape, delineation until they could get a fence up there overnight. Everything went really well. It was a good experience. One thing that we found out, if we're aware of a fire, basically staging our staff at locations that can add more gallons per minute to our system. We have boosters that do kick on automatically, but we also have equipment that can be manually turned on to get another 1,500 gallons a minute to our system.
Great.
And I did discuss this with the GM. If we are aware of a situation, we can post somebody at well 8 and at the yard to get more of an instant gallons per minute to our system. Chief Lieberman's here. I'm sure he'll explain that they had a little trouble in the beginning, but it worked out really well. Any questions?
I'll wait to compliment Tony on the response to the casino fire until after Chief Lieberman has his comments. But I do want to make sure to express, you know, the level of effort that he and Casey and Jason did with respect to our property owner on Basin Street. The owners happened to have just moved in a few months ago, came in from Nebraska, and then found themselves with a sagging sewer line backing up and having to have that honey hut in the backyard. Point is, the policy direction that your board provided last spring, that this district is going to maintain the responsibility of laterals. Well, that was the first good case where somebody walked away smiling with that board decision. And so it worked out well. The coordination with the contractor was really good. But Tony and everybody, they responded in a very timely manner. Got the USAs out there. You know, we have to basically sit, 48 or 72 hours until?
Yes, we do. Once it's USA, you have to wait 48 hours.
And got it done, I think, about as quickly as it possibly could have gotten done. And
well, good I job. Applaud you. Thank you very much.
I had one question on that. Is that drop going to continue to be a problem, or do you get enough fall on it?
Yes, we did have adequate fall, and we did have our district engineer out there. We did have it surveyed by the engineer firm that our district engineer works for. So there was a lot of coordination involved.
Yeah.
That's why it did take more time than I thought it should have, but it took what it took because of that.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
And the problem that we encountered, we would not expect it to duplicate itself because during the investigative work, if you will, Tony noted something with the original construction that was a bit odd and probably contributed to the problem that they had. And, of course, he rebuilt with good workmanship. So
yes,
we wouldn't expect the problem to repeat itself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just hold on 1 second, Tony. We probably have a couple questions about the fire. That's why if you could just sit in the front and wait for us. Mr. Lieberman's going to give a report.
Good evening, Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief.
Good evening.
Tony gave my report. I have nothing more to add. Just kidding. Before I get started, it's a pleasure. I'd like to introduce to you our brand new Day 3 Battalion Chief, Dave Pargee. Dave, if you could come up and introduce yourself to the board and the community.
Thank you. My name is Dave Pargee, new battalion chief, so very new. I grew up in the city of Orange in Orange County. I worked for the city of Brea Fire Department for close on to 24 years. But in between getting a job in the fire department and living in Orange, went to school at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, spent some of the best years of my life there, and fell in love with the Central Coast. So I'm very happy to be back. I feel like I'm back at home, actually. I have a wife and a 7-year-old daughter, and we're looking forward to getting them up here as well come July. So
great.
That's me in a nutshell.
Thanks.
Pleasure, Chief.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome back.
So we had a little fire on Front Street on the 21st of September, the Oceana Casino. We were dispatched to a commercial structure fire. Just to give you a little bit of play-by-play, the first unit, Engine 3 was there in 4 minutes, reported, if you're visualizing the front of the building from Front Street, the left corner of the building had light smoke and some fire on it, exterior. By the time I got there was heavy smoke pouring out of the rear of the building, so obviously a working attic fire. Somehow that smoke that was on the exterior had gotten up into the attic space. Quickly realized due to some construction and some plywood flooring that was installed, we couldn't penetrate the ceilings from inside the building, and that attic fire really took off. If you were there, you saw the pitched portion of that structure, the roof sagging within minutes, and the decision was made that we had to get fire personnel out of the building and perform what's called a defensive tactic. We rang a second alarm, which was a great idea, which brought us another ladder truck from San Luis Obispo City, along with numerous additional fire engines from Cal Fire. At that point, you're really looking for bodies, not so much fire engines. Tony mentioned water pressure. When you have two of those ladder trucks extended with the big, high volume water master stream devices, you are using a lot of water per minute. The beauty of working, like he said, as a family is I picked up the phone and looked up Tony in my phone book and called him, and he said, we're on it, and I'm going to come see you at the incident command post. So really appreciated the teamwork, and it continued late into the evening. The fire's still under investigation. We have some thoughts as to cause or our place of origin. Yesterday, we assisted the property owner's fire investigator by putting him up in the platform so he could take some photos of the site. Additionally, representatives from the California State Department of Justice were here because of the state Gaming Commission involvement. So there's a lot of visibility on what happened at the fire. We were able to help the business owner evacuate some very important and valuable property during the course of the fire operations, but the building is substantially damaged, and he won't be making entry in that building anytime soon. If you were there, the facade that held that historic neon sign collapsed. We could see it leaning, so we backed fire personnel away, got the public on the other side of Highway 1, and it did crash. I just want to go to one more fire and answer any other questions you can, and then I want to come back and talk about Tony and his crew for a minute. On the 26th, we were dispatched to Alice Lane. There's been a lot of fire activity lately. We were dispatched to Alice Lane about 2:50 p.m. on the 26th for a balcony fire. Alice Lane is over in the Belridge area, so it's one of those multi-level condo units. There was fire on the balcony. It was really limited to the balcony only. The guys hit it quickly with just a portable pump, hand pump, and knocked the fire out. We determined that was a cigarette being discarded into a trash can. So just for those of us in the communities who are watching this broadcast, please be very careful. It's very dry, and it was very hot earlier in the week. So going back to teamwork and family and partners, I just want to take a minute and recognize Tony, Casey, and Jason, because not only I already told you the story about Tony and the guys just showing up to help us get done what needed to be done, but as the night went on, the facade was in the roadway and on the sidewalk, and they brought out their equipment, helped us clear that. And then we really wanted to try to preserve that sign. And using the forklift, the dump truck, and having some connections and getting the depot unlocked, we were able to transport these guys. Working with my fire guys, we're able to transport that sign so it's secure and hopefully can be fixed and be back in the community. So I'd love to embarrass you, Tony, by presenting you the certificate of appreciation from the Five Cities Fire Authority. You didn't cry. I'm very upset. So while we're up here, if you have any questions, we'll certainly try to answer them.
I do have a question and a comment. A number, when I think it was before your time, when Chief Hubert was here and we started talking about, which is part of our four-year plan with PAVO, of course, is the implementation of this, but we started talking about the infrastructure needs and the ability of our infrastructure water delivery system to meet the modern firefighting needs. And in a lot of places, we just, in the community, we just don't have that. We don't have the gallon per minute. It's available through our system. And so I think this is an example of why it's important that Oceano stays focused on developing its infrastructure. I won't be here for that, but I'll be still living here, but I won't be part of this board. And so I think that's why it's very important that the infrastructure and the plan that we have in place with PAVO to make sure that happens for community health, community safety issues, and our first responders. So thank you, Chief, for what you guys
thank
do.
You.
I was at home when I heard the alarms going off, and so appreciate it.
Thank you.
The only thing I was going to add is that the patio fire, they were putting the cigarettes into a plastic container on a plastic porch trek with a plastic railing. It's more like a melt rather than a fire.
Well, I'm so proud of our field crew. I always have been very, very proud, and thank you very much. And you were excellent at all the angry drivers who got stopped at 13th and had to make a U-turn. You facilitated it quite well. And I wanted to ask you, as you know, you mentioned water pressure and new equipment and old technology, and you know, we're seeing more and more three stories. And how many ladder trucks do you have? One?
Well, Five Cities Fire Authority has one. What's great in this county through mutual aid agreements is there's five of them in the county.
Okay.
The nearest one to us, drive time, is either, it's going to be a toss-up between Santa Maria or San Luis Obispo City. That would be the next closest.
So we have one in the South County, but if we need two,
we're going to wait a little while.
We're going to be in trouble.
It was okay. $1.1 million truck, I think.
Right.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
So we were grateful that SLO City came to South County and helped us.
Obviously, we appreciate Cal Fire and SLO City coming and with the mutual aid agreements.
Thank you all for helping so much. Right. I really appreciate you keeping everybody safe.
Appreciate it.
And then, President Lucy, just as a quick follow-up on the casino fire, what's
yes.
in front of you, and handouts are available for the public as well, is that we did a quick cost breakdown on what Tony and the crew's efforts were, and really have it broken down into three different categories. It was about $2,600 in cost altogether. The water loss component of it is roughly 100,000 gallons. That equates to about $635. The water fund costs, that's the issue that's discussed, that Tony and the crew, Jason and Casey, had to stage themselves at different points in our system. Mm-hmm. Well number 8, our Lopez connection and the boosters, in order to make sure that if additional flows or additional pressure was necessary, that then Tony could call in order to have the other two, you know, adjusting some of our facilities to provide greater flows. That's a cost of, it was about $640 of staff time during the incident. And the important point there is that without a SCADA system or an automatic control system, that's how they have to operate. They have to have somebody on the site communicating what's going on with the hydrants, and then other people who are working the source of supply. The third component was really what's unique to this particular fire, and it might be worthy of a subsequent agenda item, and that was the garbage fund cost, because, you know, the district does have garbage authority, so the crews were free to go out there and clean up the street. Normally, under your ordinance, what we're dealing with is illegal dumping, and we post for a 10-day period, and if property owners don't clean up the illegal dumping, then we have the ability to charge them. But obviously, in this case, due to the emergency, we had to waive the posting period. But it is really, I think, a board discretionary item at a future agenda to look at that cost and see whether or not it should be paid by the property owner. One of the options would, of course, to be to submit it to their insurance company, because their insurance company is probably going to have a long list of costs that they're going to have to work with. But in any case, it was about $2,600 in total, our cost of responding with the crews, about half of that related to the after hours and cleaning up Highway 1 and doing what they did there. And then 25% was the water loss, and then the other 25 was staging everybody so that they could turn valves and make sure flows and pressures were maintained during the incident.
Well, thank you very much for capturing those kinds of expenses. Those are the ones that usually kind of slide through and offset you. So thank you very much for doing that. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to this agenda item? No? Well, thank you very much, everybody. Oh, one more thing. I want to thank the Depot Association for taking that sign on and you guys thinking about keeping it. That meant a lot to us. So thank you.
Safekeeping it.
Yeah. All right, moving right along.
So for my report, I was absent at the last Zone 3 Advisory Committee due to a different commitment, and President Lucy sat in my place. I appreciate that. Two quick items relating to public comment on the 2014-15 audit. We had completed our work a while ago. It's pretty much right now in the hands of the auditor to do final touch-up on the report, and so we're just waiting to get it back and to have it published and, you know, receive and file for your agenda. But all the information associated with CalPERS and the pension changes, I think, amounted to about 8 pages of footnotes to the financial statements. So that was an amazingly enjoyable write-up. but it was done a few weeks ago, and again, we've provided everything to the auditor, so we would expect that to be pretty soon. On the county drainage project itself, as you know, I had previously indicated to your board at prior meetings, we're working through those with the county. Doug Grosshart, or Tony actually, with all the other things that he had to do, went out on yesterday, and did some additional potholing. And potholing is where, you know, like a 2-foot by 2-foot section, they cut through the pavement and then they go and locate the depth of the pipe. And the reason why he did this, and this is specifically on the relocation, I think on Railroad, is that initially design engineers will make certain assumptions based on best information on where they believe that the subsurface utilities exist. This particular relocation was proving to be like half of the entire project job. So what we did is we went out there, did additional potholing to truly verify where the depths of the existing sewer lines are. And from that work effort and the redesign work that Doug Grosshart did yesterday and is providing to the county's engineers, basically took the cost of that specific relocation, which was in the $60,000 range, and it looks like it's going to be about half of that. So by doing that upfront potholing work and a little bit more investigative work, being able to reduce the cost on that altogether. But final design work is not quite complete. The cost estimates are getting close, and it looks like it's going to be in the $100,000 to $125,000 range, and we have sufficient funds and reserves in order to cover those costs. Previously indicated to the board that once we know those costs and we bring the agreement to your board, then I would be looking to do the budget adjustments at that time. But knowing all along that we have sufficient funds, our water funds aren't flush with cash, but we have the ability to cover that project. In summary, there's 9 different sites that have to be relocated. And where we sit right now is that the county believes that they're liable for 4 of the sites and that we're liable for 5 of the sites. The question of liability is one of legal liability. And just today, the county provided us with some more references for our legal counsel to review as to those liability determinations. Legal counsel has also provided edits back to the county on the draft agreement that they provided, rather extensive, I might add. But in any case, all of those 3 those issues, one is final design work, final cost estimates, and then the liability and the legal agreement are all about in the 90% complete phase. So I would expect that that's going to be on your board agenda in the near future. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
I don't.
No.
Okay. I'm going to do a little bit on zone three. It's under this, under your area. I did attend the zone three meeting. It was a very informative meeting. As we all know, the Lopez Dam is low. They had predicted that it would drop to 10,000 acre feet in November. They were able to push that out till December, which gave us about another additional 30 days on the dam. What's happening right now is the processing center up at the dam is shutting down on a regular basis, about once every 2 weeks, which is extremely, extremely costly, trying to piecemeal that that system and having it down and interfering with water. So Jill Ogren gave the report. She was so clear and concise. It was able, everybody was able to follow it. So what they're going to do is they're going to put some another row of membranes in the processing center, and it's going to cost about $750,000. And usually when that type of expense comes before a board, there's a lot of staff reports, there's a lot of preparation. And since we're now dealing with the water being so low, we're almost working on the edge of a crisis intervention system. So what the board approved is they approved about $275,000 to start initiating the work quickly to get the plant what it needs and get it up going, but the total cost will be about $750,000. I would strongly encourage everybody to read the LRRP report, the Low Reservoir Response Plan. That is what we will be following when that plant, when we're already following some of the guidelines, but as of December, everybody will be complying with the LRRP. And the question after that will be, and Mr. Ogden could probably answer all these questions much, much better than I, but we're going to have to figure out how to get the last 4,000 acre feet out of the bottom of the reserve, the reservoir. So it was a very good meeting, and I think it went well. So it was scary, the information, but I think everybody did the right thing.
And just a quick follow-up, because $750,000 is obviously a big number. Oceano's share is just under 7%, so that's about $50,000. There is both existing reserves within the Zone 3 budget, as well as the county's ability to modify the current year's capital improvement program, push some stuff off into future years. So we're not looking at any additional billings to Oceano in order to address that. Certainly, still a significant cost, but again, there's already significant financial provisions with the county and at Zone 3, so there won't be any additional cost to Oceano this year.
Right, but whenever they have expenses, they do bring it before Zone 3 for approval, so that's about it on that. At this time, should we do public comment now or wait?
Board items?
Board of Directors.
Well, let's do Board of Directors. Okay. Oh, I was just trying to mix it up a little bit. Okay. Director Angelo's not here tonight. Director Blackburn.
On Monday, Vice President White and I attended the Oceano Advisory Council, where we got an update from Gennaro Diaz about the revitalization draft plans. And it included, or the plan includes three phases with cost breakdowns for each phase and draft construction plans. And those documents will be on the Advisory Council website for those who are interested in looking at those. But there will also be a public meeting at this in this boardroom on November 3rd from 6 to 8 for people who are interested in finding out more or making comments.
And what was the date on that again? I'm sorry.
November 3rd.
November 3rd, okay.
And the website is oceanoadvisorycouncil.org. And those will be up by the end of the week.
Great.
Jennifer, President Lucy, I have a question.
Yes.
The documents, have they been updated at all? A number of years ago, we had some town hall meeting type information that I think that plan's originally from 2002. I think Kacho was on the Board of Supervisors when it was approved.
The Oceana Pacific Plan?
Maybe I'm mixing up here. It's been a while since I looked at them. But have there been any updates or anything that to those, or what's been happening?
Yes, they did finalize the revitalization plan, and I know the meetings were in 2013. I don't know if that plan was completed in that year or by the next year, but that is on the Advisory Council website right now.
Okay, I'll take that.
And then these are plans moving forward with projects that were discussed at those meetings.
All right, thank you.
Draft plans.
And I think maybe the 2002 plan that you're referencing, I think that's the Oceana Pacific Plan.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is just Front Street from.
Yes, thank you.
19th to
here.
13th?
13th, yeah. 19th to 13th to 19th.
Right.
And one of the things that I think people need to look at, because I also was at that meeting. Excuse me for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
But they're proposing along the, I call it the north side of where all the streets come in. They're proposing some realignments of streets, some closing of streets. There's a proposal for a one-way street. One street's going to be closed, and I think people who are interested really need to look at this plan. Mm-hmm. Because I would really be interested in seeing what people think, because I don't think it's going to work out the way they're proposing it. But that's just one person's opinion who's driving around and looking at the situation.
Yeah. And I was just able to look at the map, and it is from 4th Street to 19th Street. And the one-way street would be Ocean. It would only be able to come off of Highway 1 and go onto Ocean. You would not be able to get onto Highway 1 from Ocean anymore, only 15th Street.
And then Beach Street would be closed.
Yes, and then they're looking at closing, Beach Street.
But leaving 17th open.
But yeah. So, yeah, there are definitely interesting things happening there. So if you are interested in giving input, please check that out.
A lot of people worked on that plan. You know, it's interesting to see that parts of it might be done. And was there street lighting in on that plan too? I think we talked about 35 new street lights or some number I was surprised in.
Yes, it was included. I'm trying to see.
Because I think we're down to one light.
Yeah, it would not seem to be. Street lighting is addressed as well as some potential landscape maintenance.
Yeah.
My feedback to the county is that the district does not have landscape maintenance powers under our LAFCO approved powers, so that would not be an option. With respect to the street lighting, we do pay for the lighting bills along, mm-hmm. you know, wherever we have the historic standard, so I'd expect we would continue to do that. And in terms of their replacement, the county had indicated that they would look for grant funds or some other funds for the actual capital project work. But the number of street lights themselves, I would guess, is probably more around, I don't know, 10 or 15, 35 would seem kind of high for that, for that length of road. But the county doesn't have any estimates right now on any construction. They had funding in order to do the design work, or some of the design work, but that's all the funding they have right now. So actual implementation dates are not determinable right now.
Okay. So that's a place where people can advocate. They can call and ask the county that if they could start funding and at least portions are bringing the item back up and start moving on it, because it's been 4 years in the works already, 3 years in the works already. So now it's time. Okay. Ms. White.
Well, I went to the OAC meeting and I went to the fire, and I think those have both been pretty well covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to report.
Oh, but Mr. Guerrero. I thought you were part of a big event on Friday.
Oh, I guess I do have something. So
Ms. Cassiola and Cody, what is Cody's last name? I forget. Grable, Cody Grable, who is our intern, and I, along with Captain Eco, shot a public service announcement that's going to be aired regarding the new, exciting, and existing, already existing, recycling and waste activities and Keep Oceano Clean, Green, and Beautiful. And so when everybody gets a chance to see the public service announcements, I think it's probably going to be about 3 or 4 minutes. I was really impressed with Cody's draft and his outlines, and I think I'm hopeful it'll come out really well. But don't be disappointed. We did not do any rapping for the video.
And the timing was good because, of course, Friday was also cleanup day, where last week, countywide, our private garbage companies in the county and the different communities, you know, did the special cleanup days where they'll take like something like a dozen different bundles and then bulky items. And so based on prior board approval, the district covered the bulky item costs for the community last week. And the rough numbers that we've seen is that the volume was about 5 times higher than normal. So they didn't quite get all the work done on Friday. In fact, I think they were even picking up some stuff yesterday. They got vast majority of everything done on Friday. I drove around on Saturday.
And, right.
So that most of it was done. But that basic number of about 5 times was pretty impressive. And so it seems to have been a pretty successful event.
It was. And I did notice that there were a lot of things. And I put things out as well. I had an old doghouse. My wife wanted to know where I was going to sleep, but I put that out. And some other items. And so I'm really glad that it was well received by the community. And hopefully it leads to increased beautification in Oceano.
Well, I'll tell you, the curbs that we don't have, but the sides of the streets were absolutely full. And everybody was taking advantage of that. And I think that's great that, you know, a portion of our rates went to each household in one way or another, because it does start to add up the bulky items and having to pay for that. And, you know, it's a hardship for a lot of people. So this is your rates at work.
I should mention also that when we're seeing those numbers, the garbage company, South County Sanitary Inc., was concerned that the free services in Oceano may have been that some people who were outside of Oceano, friends and families, were bringing things in. So we set up a patrol. Carrie and Cody kind of drove around at different portions of the day, interviewed some of the individuals to actually find out how they had heard about it. You know, was it through what aspect of our outreach they were hearing about? And then after work on Thursday night, Tony, Casey, and Jason sort of each camped out at different spots along the pike. And I brought them some pizzas, keep them happy. And the good news is that we really didn't notice anybody bringing anything in. So, you know, in a situation like this, it's kind of be expected that maybe somebody brought something in from, you know, outside the area. But we didn't observe anything, and that's generally an indication that there wasn't any widespread abuses. So it really did seem to be a successful day.
Great.
And it was also successful Wednesday in Halcyon.
In Halcyon, yes.
And I was surprised they had a big, huge steak bed truck going by and getting the metal stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'd stuck stuff out just for the sort of regular pickup, and they just sort of went by and then backed up and picked it up. I mean, it was in with the garbage, but I was surprised how proactive they were in actually looking for stuff.
To recycle.
To recycle, and I really appreciated that.
And I know that one of the dead dryers didn't get picked up, and I called on Saturday, and within, I'd say, 20 minutes, that thing was gone. So they were, even on Saturday, they were working hard at getting it going.
So one other thing is I've had a lot of people approach me about the countertop green waste. So it's generated a lot of discussion. I think people are paying attention to it, and I'd be interested to see when that's fully operational, whatever it is they're doing out there at the dump, but.
So the idea is right now is you can use those pails in order to put your food waste into your green waste receptacle. The compost gas energy conversion facility is going to be a couple of years off. I think the best case was spring of 2018, but can't quote me, but you probably will anyhow. But in talking with Pat Fenton, it looked like early 18. And, you know, with those pails on the food waste, they are pretty much hit and miss. People who, you know, have their own home composting and are used to doing it tend to be more receptive to it. But they take a lot of cleaning, and they can get smelly. So it's a little bit of a hit and miss.
They can be used for many, many things.
Many different things, yes.
You know, I've been recycling my coffee grounds.
I figured if I brought my lunch in that pail, nobody would touch it.
Thank you.
Okay. I attended the lovely sanitation district meeting, and it was a very short agenda, except for one agenda item, where Mayor Hill decided that he was going to censure me. And unfortunately, the bylaws for the sanitation district does not have any regulations on how to censure your fellow board members. So, but mainly what it was is it was a time for the public to come out and just scream and yell and have a fit and throw things at somebody. And so that's kind of what it turned into. And so I hope some people feel good about themselves. I hope they got that anger out and vented and all that stuff, because it was the most unproductive meeting I probably have ever attended in too many years of government meetings. So on that note, that's all I'm going to say about the Sand District. This time we're going to open up public comment for the items 6A and 6B. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker again. And when Mr. Ogren gave the amount of water that was used for the fire at approximately 100,000 gallons, I find that your system is still leaking that every day. Every day. So the programs are administrative only, and that the infrastructure still hasn't been repaired. His estimate on the Oceano Drainage Project, 100 to 125,000, how much is the administrative portion of this running, and is that included? Pavo's time, Doug Grosshart's time, Jeff Minnery's time on the project, and is that budgeted? The when I came up in public comment, I referenced an email that you have. And as I walked away, you said you didn't have it.
The one you were waving
right,
around,
this
I
one?
Didn't have. No, no, I have that one.
This is the one.
You had another one from the county.
Oh, okay. Well, you should get that one for sure.
That's
but
the one I was
this talking one about. You have.
Yes, I do.
And this is the one, this is one of three documents that you asked to censure Mr. Hill over. So you didn't quite report exactly what was on that agenda, and that there were two items asking for censure. Mr. Hill asking for your censure, and you in asking for his. Mm-hmm. There, you didn't tell your fellow board members that. What came out of that, because there is no process for censure, was the direction to staff to repudiate the false information that you had put out on Facebook when you defamed your plant superintendent and Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill's, he was very gracious.
Of course.
Yep. And he he didn't care what you said about him. I don't really care what you say about me, which you did also in the same Facebook post. But what you say about the superintendent and the status of the plant, and that you said that it's polluting the ocean beyond repair, those things need to be fixed. That's what your staff now has been directed to do at the sanitation district is...
Thank you, Ms. Tucker.
Fix what you broke. You hurt your district.
I did forget one thing on that agenda, so after public comment, I'll report. Did you have something to say, sir?
I do have something.
Great.
My name is Chris Lacey, and I just want to say I'm grateful for your decision to maintain control and the maintenance of the sewer laterals from the homeowner's property line to the main. I'm the homeowner on Basin Street. So, brief story. I moved here from Nebraska 1 year ago this month. Bought a house in Oceano on Basin Street in January. After being recommended not to buy in Oceano, I'm super grateful I have. I love the street I live on. My neighbors and the community's been great. The district has been great. So covering that cost and covering that repair was super helpful to my family. As Tony said, we had a portable in our backyard for 2 weeks. And the weekend before that, we didn't have a portable, but we didn't have use of our toilets. So we were driving somewhere else to for those facilities. And so I just want to say thank you, and I'm grateful that you made that decision. And then I also want to comment on the trash pickup, the day where you pay for the bulk items. Mm-hmm. So we took advantage of that as well. Good. And that was great. And they somehow missed our house on Friday or didn't get to it, but they showed up on Tuesday, and all of that was picked up. And my wife loves the little green bucket, so that's beneficial as well. So I just want to say thank you, and that's all
thanks
I have.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome to California, and especially to Oceano.
Yeah.
Welcome to town, sir.
And I've lived with the outdoor situations with no restrooms, too. That's why I was laughing.
You started. You came in. You thought you were moving in, but you were actually camping. That's right. Thank you, sir. Welcome to town.
Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment on this time? Okay, hearing them, I'll close it. I did withdraw my motion from the Sanitation District agenda to censure Mr. Hill. So there was no action taken on there. Couldn't have been anyway, so. On that note, I think we're on to consent items. We are. Everybody read the minutes. I really enjoy the way you write the minutes. Or you.
Ms. Ruiz.
No, yeah.
I did review them, yes.
I love that you don't put word for word. You just make the action items and move on.
So I will say that when I first started, there used to be a fair amount of red ink on those things. and I don't think I've broken out that red pen for quite a while now.
Okay.
Learn by doing.
Yep.
And the financials are tight as can be. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for training her, Tom. Okay. Does anybody have anything they want to?
Who picked out the colors for the carpeting and the fires? Living quarters.
That was the individuals who live in the living quarters. So Nicole coordinated with the fire crews in order to identify the carpeting and the flooring material.
What I appreciated about it was that you're using a local vendor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calco's too. Carpet Warehouse in Oceana. I really appreciated that you were doing that.
It's 100 yards away.
Pardon me?
It's about 200 yards away, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay. Okay. Any public comment on consent items? Hearing none, I'll close public comment.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. Can we get a roll call on this one, Sylvia, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Sorry. Sorry. I didn't even know it was on. Okay. We can move on now.
Would you like me to proceed with 8A?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. So business item 8A is consideration of a request for an intent to serve letter extension for Michael Fisher, 1991 21st Street, for mixed-use development. And for the most part, the staff report covers everything. I just want to add in a little bit. So we had to do, I worked with our district engineer, Doug Grosshart, because existing ordinances that provide for the calculation of development fees are categorized as either residential or commercial. And Mr. Fisher is proposing a mixed-use project, and therefore, in looking at the ordinance, our obligation is to try to use it as guidance as best as we can in making a proposal. But when an ordinance or other types of official, you know, direction don't fit a situation, then we need to do some additional analysis. So we did four different types of approaches, and they're described in the staff report. And it's option C, which is recommended, and we believe that that best fits the case as it exists right now. And I'm, again, that's in the staff report, so I'm not really going to get into that detail. Mr. Fisher is here to provide some input as well. The point that I want to make sure to emphasize is that because our existing ordinance doesn't really address mixed use, it's something that we need to do. And the current structure is that connection fees, development fees for single-family residential are based on the number of residential units, regardless of the size of the residential unit. And that's a fairly common approach because sometimes the larger homes actually have smaller occupancies, and so the demand on a water system isn't always tied directly on a square footage basis. In contrast, schools by state law have to charge them on a square foot basis. But where I'm going with here is the EVC, the Economic Vitality Corporation, right now is deliberating fees in order to promote different fee structures on a square footage basis for affordable housing. And this type of development actually fits that type of a situation because in the development there's 9 different units. There's 4 residential, 5 commercial. Yeah, 4 residential, 5 commercial. I was thinking it was a 5 and 4. But the average unit size is about 520 square feet. The idea of the EVC of promoting affordable housing and modified fee structures that when, and I'm anticipating it would be soon after the beginning of the year, that Doug and I might be able to bring some options forward, and obviously there's going to be a new board at that point in time. But the point here is that in mixed-use development, when the actual residential units are below a certain square footage, and I don't know what that might be, but maybe it's 1,000 square feet, that we might be able to then propose a modified fee structure for those types of developments that then fit some of the EVC's recommendations on a square foot basis. Once you start getting into the regular size homes, which, you know, typically are running at 1,150 square feet or larger, then I think that the existing fee structure on, you know, per residential unit makes sense. But a modified fee structure on the very small units, which could also include granny units, might be appropriate. So again, the recommendation here for option number C is based on the best guidance that we have under the existing ordinances And Mr. Fisher might want to provide some input too as the applicant.
Okay.
Karen, you have questions?
You halfway answered it, whether we would be setting a precedent on this, but the fact that we would follow this up, this decision up with rewriting of our requirements would pretty well satisfy me. Okay. I was just concerned if we start going down a road that kind of diverts, where would it stop? But you say for granted, so I'm satisfied. Okay. That was what I was concerned with.
Does anybody else have any questions?
When I read this, I had to sit and think about it because the numbers, there's quite a number swing, and I'm glad that the applicant's here. And I went by the property. I wasn't sure which one it was. I don't know that there's a number on the lot, or
I think it's right across the street from Central, isn't it?
Is it where the
Mr. Fisher?
Good evening, sir.
And Matt, on the swing in the numbers, especially A and B, there's a certain amount where I'm not recommending A or B because that's almost would be double counting,
right,
where the residential fees would be calculated and then the commercial would be based on the meter size. But the problem with that is the meter feeds both the residential and the commercial. So that's where C seemed to be the most appropriate.
And obviously, we don't want to do anything to discourage this gentleman from using his property in a way that he wants to use his property while still protecting the ratepayers who have developed the infrastructure for him to be able to do that. And so what's your thoughts, sir, on...
In regards to
how we should approach this particular question, yeah.
Well, the total size of the whole project is 4,682 square feet. And within that, we have 9 units, 4 residential, 5 commercial, and they're all like around 520 square feet apiece. So they're small units. Mm-hmm. So the relief that we're looking for and hoping for with the fees, it also would help contribute because there's such a small demand of water. It's such a small design project that we're trying to work something out with the district in order to have some relief on these fees to make this project go forward.
Right. And can you help us geographically figure out where it is? Is it directly, the lot directly across from Central Market?
It's the one next door to Central Market, the only empty one, right where they...
Where Chacho's is?
No. Right across the street from where they're building the new CHC.
Oh, okay.
That lot right there, right across the street.
So it's the old car lot?
Yeah, I think years ago it was, yes.
Yeah.
It had those temporary mobile... Yeah. Buildings on it?
Yeah.
That lot. And it's empty
okay,
now.
Great.
Yeah.
Glad to see you there.
Thank you.
What kind of businesses do you envision or what kind of?
Well, we got 2 retail proposed for the commercial and 2 storage buildings. And the third floor is going to be kind of like a penthouse commercial opportunity for someone. So it's a 3-story building.
Really mixed
use. And I got a picture.
You guys, so it's more storage units?
No, they can be storage. They can use for retail or office space.
So. But they're not going to be advertised as
no,
a storage
not at all.
Unit, right?
No.
Because we're
Excuse
kind
me.
Of over.
Right. I misunderstood. I misunderstood that. And I brought a picture of it in case anybody wanted to forget
yeah,
what the picture
sure,
looked like.
Sure, roll yeah. it out.
You can't. You.
Oh,
wow,
nice.
That looks nice.
Yeah.
This has been here before, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Great.
That looks
That's
really.
What it would look like facing Highway 1. Or that yeah. one's the perspective of, no, that one's actually facing 21st Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Either way, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, based on my discussion with Mr. Fisher and this analysis, my understanding is that the recommendations generally work. However, if we have a modified fee structure prior to his final connection, he would, and let's say that modified fee structure would result in a lower fee as compared to what's been calculated here. He'd want to have potential consideration for that at that time. I think that's a fair request. Obviously, it will be another board on another day, but I think that might capture our conversation.
It would help us move forward, yes.
Okay.
Have you seen the staff report, Mr. Fisher?
No, sir.
Okay, do you know what the numbers that are
oh,
being
yes,
proposed?
Oh, yes, I
okay.
do, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're well aware.
Yeah, well, I'm aware. So if you have any more questions, I'll be in the audience.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Ogren, I have a question, if that's okay.
Go ahead, Jen.
Thank you. Can you explain to me what residential equivalency factor means for these commercial flows?
Yes.
Thank you.
First off, there's a step, and that is that so some of these numbers, they can still, like many of the intent to serve letters, can still be subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
But what our district engineer, Doug Grosshardt, and Mr. Fisher have to work on is the estimated flows from the commercial units.
Mm-hmm.
We'll combine those flows together, and then we compare them to the flows of an average residential unit. Because these are really small commercial units, we would expect that the flows from those commercial units would be between 1 and 2 residential units. If it's 1, then we would go from 4. So you have 4 residential units, and those under the existing ordinance are 4 connection, you know, fees.
Right.
So if the commercial equals, if the combined commercial equals the average flow of 1 residential that we have in the community, then we would add 1 to the 4. If it's somewhere between 1 and 2, then we would add 2. So Doug still needs to work with Mr. Fisher a little bit on firming up those numbers. We've assumed in scenario C that it would be that the commercials would equate to 2 residential units.
Okay, and that's all 5 of them?
Yes.
Okay, together. Okay, thank you.
Does anybody else have any more questions? Okay, I'll open this up for public comment. This time, does anybody want to speak to this will serve? Okay, hearing none, I'll close public comment. And I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I'm really interested in what Karen thinks. Karen has got such good wisdom on these situations.
Is there somewhere in writing that we guarantee this man that if we change this thing before he gets this built, or is that just verbal?
I think it would be a little bit problematic to provide that guarantee right now because, and Jeff may want to weigh in here, but the idea that you would be able to make a decision today for a subsequent board is a bit of a challenge. So
yeah.
Certainly if that's the board's desire, then I can work on that and provide the recommendations to the subsequent board at the appropriate time.
Well, I feel that we should, obviously we need to move ahead so the gentleman mm-hmm. can move ahead. I think we certainly look for an equitable situation in that I suppose we could have thrown $90,000 at him.
I would agree that $90,000 is too high.
Yeah.
It shocked me when I saw
right.
that number.
So the recommendation under C is the $52,000
recommendation. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
It does.
Because, you know, I like the D number better to encourage the development, but they are, in fact, there are commercial units, and so.
Right.
Yeah, and then my concern there is that that would seem to deviate from the existing ordinance
right.
A little bit too much. That might, you know, in the development of new ordinances, we might see a recalculated fee getting closer to that number,
yeah.
but again, that would be subject to getting Mr. Grosshardt involved in doing the additional work that's necessary.
This isn't a situation that we're sophisticated in because we haven't had it come up, I think is probably the...
Yes, that's right. It is happening more often, and my understanding is some agencies are and have gone to square footage for small residential units in order to promote affordable housing.
Right. And I do want to say I appreciate Mr. Fisher bringing in that drawing and that his efforts and his willingness to develop and invest in Oceano. I really applaud that. I really do.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to add?
Okay. Then I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Let's do a roll call vote on this one, please.
And for clarification, that's C.
Yeah, C.
Director Guerra?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Wilson?
Yes. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. On to
item 8B.
Thank you, sir.
Which is a consideration of a letter regarding disadvantaged community funding. The staff report pretty much lays everything out. I don't have any additional comments. Aaron Floyd with the City of San Luis Obispo has provided a letter that's been provided to your board members and the public as well. And I believe he's got a request in for to provide some comments to your board as well.
As the board remembers, Jennifer Pavo has been attending the IRWM with Jennifer Blackburn. I've attended a few of them. I still am shocked I'm not shocked, you know, when people throw crumbs at disadvantaged communities, I'm never shocked, but you know, I was hoping that it wouldn't be the case in this situation, but unfortunately it is with this much money. So saying that, I don't think it's enough money. My concern is that we'll have communities come in who truly are not disadvantaged, and we'll start a cascade for a very small pool of money to be spread into communities that are truly not disadvantaged, and the pot gets smaller and smaller, and the disadvantaged community really comes out to, you know, not getting anything because of how individual areas have defined themselves as disadvantaged. So that is my concern. And so on that note, I'll take Mr. Aaron Floyd.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, board members. Evening, my name is Aaron Floyd. I'm the deputy director with the utilities department for the City of San Luis Obispo. The City of San Luis Obispo has a long history of working regionally with other communities along the Central Coast. As we heard earlier, one example of the fire situation mm-hmm. with mutual aid there. So I was glad to hear that recognized. Thank you for that. Specifically with water, the city has a long history of working with Cal Poly as well as the California Men's Colony at Whale Rock. More recently in the North County, the City of San Luis Obispo has been working with our Nacimiento partners, so Atascadero through Paso Robles, as well as Cayucas. And most recently, we've begun discussions on regional approaches aimed at getting water to the South County. Specifically, with regard to this issue, as stated in your staff report, our regular city representative was not able to attend the first meeting of the disadvantaged communities or the DAC meetings that were held through the IRWM. Bless you. On June 30th, the San Luis Obispo did attend the meeting, as it is an eligible disadvantaged community as recognized by the criteria set forward by the state of California. At that time, a proposal was made by the group as a whole that the city should not be allowed to participate. About a month later, on July 28th, with both or all of the disadvantaged community members as well as representatives from your board and staff, the decision was made to split the money evenly between the disadvantaged communities, but it was requested that the City of SLO re-examine their proportion and have the option to not take the full amount allocated to them. With this in mind, the City of San Luis did go back to its list of potential projects and did land upon the proposal that has been put forward, which is part of the site assessment related to the upgrade of the water resource recovery facility. And that project did meet the goals of the IRWM. Specifically, it provides reliable, long-term, high-quality water supply to the community, ecosystem preservation, water supply protection and enhancement, groundwater management, and flood management. This proposal was then discussed at the following IRWM meeting, and there had not been any other responses at that point in time from the other disadvantaged community groups. It should also be pointed out that the funding that is being requested for this site assessment is actually coming from the utilities department. And the utilities department does not receive funding from the general fund of the city of San Luis Obispo. It operates as an enterprise fund, receiving its money from rates. In closing, I believe that the city has worked with the other regional agencies and proposed a project that allows all groups to achieve a regional benefit. And I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask Mr. Floyd a couple of questions?
Madam President, as a point of quick clarification, decisions have not been made. This is scheduled for final review by on November 2nd. And so the county has asked for responses to the current draft by September 30th. That's why I've scheduled it on yours, but the next meeting is November 2nd. My understanding is San Simeon is actually going to be deliberating it on October 12th.
Okay.
Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah.
So I just had some thoughts. I mean, obviously. Pardon?
Hold on a second. Okay. I think we're in the middle of public comment. And board, but we're not in the middle of
comment. Right now, really what you've done is extended the courtesy outside of public comment for input from a related agency. And so you're still within board deliberation and public comment would come
so
at
so, Mr. Floyd, I think we have a couple questions for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Ogren.
Thank you, Mr. Floyd.
Yeah, don't worry. Okay.
All right, so obviously, I love San Luis Obispo. It's a privilege for me to work in the downtown, but I am also privileged to live here in Oceano, and I'm on this board where my fiduciary duty lays. Obviously, I think we all saw the article in the Tribune a month or two ago that San Luis Obispo is one of the most unaffordable places to live. Obviously, Oceano would be one of the more affordable places in the county to live, and that's directly a result of our lower socioeconomic status that we have in Oceano and lower income. And the fact that I think we truly, are the hook, for example, with our collaboration with Pismo Beach as the disadvantaged community, and bringing that particular status with us, provides some other government-type funds. You've listed off a number of objectives for San Luis Obispo that are all, I think, very important, very responsible objectives for what your city and your organization is trying to do. But don't you think in a competition, there's a limited number of resources. We're trying to figure out how to divide up those resources in an equitable manner. Don't you think that social justice and equity really would suggest that there is a greater need in Oceano, like we heard earlier today about our water system, for example, that can't keep up with first responder type needs, and we have a situation like that. And of course, we appreciate that your truck came to help us. But don't you think that it would be more appropriate to allocate those type of funds, not to a more advantaged, prosperous city, but to actually to a real community that is actually disadvantaged?
Director Guerrero, the qualifications or criteria that are required to meet the disadvantaged community are set forward by the state of California. And I respect your opinion in that. We also are looking out for the best interest of our community as well on that. Right. And I think it shows our willingness to work collaboratively as we have proposed an alternative instead of going for the full allocation that the other DACs have proposed that they pursue, where we have proposed pursuing something at about 50% of that dollar amount.
Right. And I understand you're trying to protect your community, and we all have finite resources. I just, I'm going to ask, though, and you're going to receive the information and thank me for the comment, but I'm just going to ask that that the monies that you're seeking for San Luis Obispo, a beautiful little town, the happiest place on earth, right, except for Disneyland or whatever it is, that those are better as a matter of social justice sent to these particular communities, and so. Including San Miguel, including, I didn't know San Simeon was disadvantaged, but including these other communities, so.
Yeah, San Simeon is, I think as you've seen in the staff report, if you actually look at the level related to median home income, our median household income. Yeah, I think San Simeon is the first on that, followed by the city of San Luis Obispo, and I believe.
Well, but it's because of the students, though, right? And if you look at your actual residents that are going to be there, if you take those out, your income is significantly higher than ours.
I don't have the data to support that either way. I have heard people state that. We do have several elderly folks on fixed income. We definitely have a lot of people who work in the service industry. I recall my days as a college student. I was pretty broke as I lived with five other people in a house and ate Top Ramen all day. So I don't have data to support that or deny that.
I made $95 a week. I remember that, and I had plenty of money.
$5 an hour felt great.
That's a good dinner now. I get that. But all right. Well, thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate you coming in and the collaboration. And obviously, we do want to continue every collaborative effort we can. But I think that the discussion is important to have that this truly is the disadvantaged community, and this is where the salt of the earth working people live, and as well as San Luis, but the percentage is much higher here. So.
Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Any other board members have any questions? So I agree totally with what Mr. Grow has said, and if you do pull out your poor students from Cal Poly, I come from a community where college was not an option. We were too poor. We went to work. Mm-hmm. So I can't explain to you the life of a poor college student from Cal Poly. So, but what I can do is I can talk about disadvantaged communities. And so what's going to stop coming up with another population next year? And the amount of funds just increasing always. It seems like it almost, it appears that you've taken advantage of a very, very small pool of money for communities who truly, truly are working class poor, not just, we don't have to pick through our populations to find the working class poor. That's what we are, you know? So you had to pretty much sift through your residents to see who qualified for this pool of money. And so that was the kind of a little, it just didn't make me feel very good, right? And then I thought, this is kind of like, I think this is gonna snowball if we don't speak up on it, because it is a very, very small pot of money, and it truly is needed to get projects into disadvantaged communities and get those shovel-ready plans ready. You have engineers and you, a fully staffed public works or whatever the definition of your public utilities department. We have an engineer by the hour. You know, we don't have plans on the shelf shovel-ready. So when it was time for Oceano to compete for the funding, we couldn't do it because we didn't have plans on the shelf. Where the city of San Luis, they were able to compete. Everybody else was able to compete, but the true disadvantaged communities that were listed, they weren't able to compete for the funds, you know? And so that's why the state came up with this, and in my opinion, somewhat of a reckless definition to silence those voices. And attach a small percentage of the funds to go to disadvantaged communities. So that's kind of how I felt about it. At first, I thought maybe it was a kind gesture, but then I thought, what is it going to be next year, and how many more people are going to find loophole populations to fit in here for this small amount? So. That's kind of how I feel about it, too.
Can I respond?
Sure.
Okay, I just that was a question. The populations are actually established by the census. So it's not that the city went out and selected a group of people to say, we're going to count these people or not, or the median household income or not. So I thought that point needed some clarification. With regards to the larger issue of should the city just step out, the city also has a lot of other major city goals related to housing and the like that are completely dependent on our status as a disadvantaged community. So when we enter these conversations regarding our status or not, I think you can understand why the city is very aware when these kind of conversations are occurring that those are being called into question when they are criteria set forward by the state that really have a much more far-reaching component than even this current conversation this evening.
Okay. Well, as you move forward, just try to keep in mind that the social justice portion of this, and we'll move forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your
time. Thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate it and appreciate the dialogue.
Okay, at this time we're going to open it up for public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker, and I don't think anybody disagrees that Oceano is disadvantaged, but I kind of want to take a little different perspective about the city of San Luis Obispo. I too work there, and many of our county services are there, and if this can offset their water bills in San Luis Obispo, even fractionally, small business can continue to provide the services they do. The hamburger that I buy may be just that much less expensive. There are colleges, but there is a very large elderly population there. They're also populated in the convalescent centers and the retirement communities that are in San Luis Obispo. So you have very large concentrations of people who are on fixed incomes. I don't think San Luis Obispo is fudging any numbers, but we have to look at what the city provides, a court system, two hospitals, the schools. I just think that it's unfortunate that you had to have an agenda item to kind of fight about this when maybe if you had a broader perspective. I work there, I go there, I buy my gas there, I do things there. So do you. You're a bedroom community. So when you use the bathroom or get a soda or drink the water in San Luis Obispo, you're benefiting from that. If they benefit from the grant, you will benefit from it too. Your community will benefit from it too. They're a state water project partner. So if they can keep their infrastructure strong using this money, it backs up your infrastructure for state water too. I like the dialogue, I like the discussion, but I think there's a broader picture and that everybody could benefit from these state dollars. Wherever they go, there's disadvantaged people. One other thing that San Luis Obispo has is a very large homeless population. They're about the only place that you can get homeless services is in the city of San Luis Obispo. They're going to build a homeless shelter in the city of San Luis Obispo. A lot of homeless will migrate there. So there's this you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of symbiotic relationship with the city of San Luis Obispo. We all go there for services.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to speak to this issue? Hearing none, I'll close public comment now.
I don't disagree with that. And there's a tremendous benefit to every community, and what it is just it's just one of those life things where there's a finite amount of funds, and so as we delegate those out, the position that I think this board has to take and the position that Mr. Floyd has to take for his community is to try to protect your community and do what's best for your community while being collaborative and while having a good dialogue. And again, I am very appreciative of Mr. Floyd coming tonight and discussing this and bringing the letter that he brought to us. There's a lot of work that's been put into this and a lot of thought, and it's a lot of intelligent thought to it. And so I think this is the time and place to have this discussion, though, and as these potential funds do benefit directly the community of Oceano and also indirectly as well by virtue of benefiting other communities. I am comfortable with our board taking a position and sending a letter in this regard. So that's my thought.
Madam President?
Yes.
If I might address something, certainly I think that both Mr. Floyd's efforts as well as my efforts as staff have not been characterized as fighting, as public comment had indicated. No. What is very, very important is that through about 6 months of effort at the staff level, a consensus was not developed. And so, but you don't see staff of the different agencies, you know, attacking each other. We don't see something here at your board that we've seen in recent months at the Sanitation District Board. And what's important is that when staff doesn't develop a consensus, that those issues are elevated to the elected officials. And that's as simple as what we've been doing today. Public comment also addressed that the city of San Luis Obispo has hospitals. But the city does, that's, those hospitals are not part of the city's budget. And what public comment really addressed was there's a lot of business activity in the city of San Luis Obispo. And whether it's the restaurants or whether it's the hospitals or whether it's even county government who pays for their water bills, in the city of San Luis Obispo, you have a significant commercial and business that do help pay for the cost of their water enterprise fund. And helps to reduce the cost to their actual residents. And in comparison, in Oceano, we're not a city. We don't have that type of business environment. Substantially, all of the bills are paid by the residents of Oceano. So there is a significant contrast there. And there's no doubt that the MHI calculation is something that the state does, and the city is eligible. But the idea that what we have to do sometimes is we have to do that reality check, and we have to say, okay, does this outcome, like the MHI calculation, really make sense in the context of the situation that they're looking at? So I have absolutely zero problem with Mr. Floyd as staff of the city of San Luis Obispo taking the position, and if I was employed by the city of San Luis Obispo, I would probably be compelled to take the same position he has.
Of course.
But really when it comes down to it is what is now the dialogue amongst the elected officials. And so what I've attempted to do with working with you know, a couple board members, not less than three, is to try to put out a letter then that dialogue can then be brought forward at the elected officials level. That's the way we're supposed to work. It's the same way any organization work. If Tony is working in the field with a contractor and they're solving problems and they're developing solutions, then great. But when they're working in the field and they don't come to solutions, then Tony gives me a call. And that's what we do. 90%, 95% of all issues are solved, and you kick up those few issues that you need to the next level. And I think that it's just as simple as that. This is now a discussion for elected officials. Now, in the finality of it all, the Board of Supervisors makes the decision. Mm-hmm. They're the lead agency for our integrated regional water management efforts. Prior to going to the Board of Supervisors, county staff is obliged to work through the Regional Water Management Group and RAC and IRWM and everything. If the decision amongst the Regional Water Management Group is to go with the proposal as it's currently drafted, then it can go forward to the Board of Supervisors and it can go forward to the board on a consent agenda. It's only if county staff or the Board of Supervisors decides that they want to take actions that differ from the Regional Water Management Group. If that's the case, then the county is obliged to have a public hearing on the item. So again, there is multiple levels associated with regional efforts. And I think it's really important that when, you know, we don't come to a consensus at a staff level where everybody is like, we've looked through it and we all have, you know, similar recommendations, that we do need to elevate it. We need to do so in a professional and appropriate manner. And that's just the way government's supposed to work. And so that's why we brought it here forward for an agenda item. But you know, sometimes staff will give each other darted eye looks and stuff like that. But the reality is everybody conducts themselves in a predominantly professional environment, and I appreciate that.
And we wouldn't expect any less from you either. You know, I'd probably call to your bus and say, hey, he didn't represent you very well. Okay. So there's a staff recommendation on the table. I'll entertain a motion.
I think Ms. White wanted to say something.
Oh, Ms. White
was just going to point out that really what we are doing is fulfilling our fiduciary duty in representing Oceano.
Right.
And I don't represent San Luis Obispo. And I make a motion to approve a letter regarding Proposition 1 funding for disadvantaged community and authorize the president to represent the district in presenting it to other agencies.
I'll second that.
And
I did, before we vote though, I did have a couple of suggested edits.
Well, it's on first and second. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Of course you have edits.
But
you
it was
with the edit master.
Let's discuss them.
Okay, so it was on the top of the.
It has to get it. Did you second it?
Yeah. I did. Okay,
so
we have
open for discussion amongst the board then.
So on the first line, it says, on the second page, excuse me.
Yes.
Where MHI results in conclusions that instead of test reality, I was going to say defy reality or
where are you?
I don't know. It's on second page on the actual letter. Continuing.
Could you repeat that one?
Sure. Also, let me start over again.
We were getting
being
our pages straight.
The first paragraph of the second page, first line, be considered when single measurements like MHI result in conclusions that defy reality.
And test.
You like test better?
I don't like define. Question it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either question or test.
Okay.
I use test to keep it a little bit more neutral. I had come up with other words and then decided that test would probably be the better
one. Okay. Well, my other suggestion sounds like I'm overruled on that one. That's fine. And in this case, challenge the notions of social justice instead of context.
I went back and forth with the word notion as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So I kind of liked notion. I went to context just because that's in the MOU, but I had started with notion.
And then on the beginning of the last paragraph, where it starts out, the Oceano Community Services District, I wanted to add, on behalf of our community, the Oceano Community Services District urges.
Oh.
Since I think what we're doing is speaking out on behalf of the community rather than just ourselves.
Right.
So who was our motion maker?
Me.
Ms. White.
So then Ms. White gets to decide to what extent she may amend her motion.
I would
so
make a motion to amend my motion.
You don't have to make a motion.
It's just you're putting out a friend.
I would support the amendment to my motion. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, so then there's 3-1 on the word of test versus defy, yes, no?
That was a no.
On the word context versus notion?
That was a yes.
Yes.
Okay, and then the last paragraph begins with on behalf of our community?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So the second then, who?
Matt.
I was the second. Yes.
And so, okay. So now we have
2-1.
A modified motion.
Okay. Let's do a roll call vote just for entertainment, kicks and giggles.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Moosey?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Floyd, I want to thank you for coming over to Oceano tonight. You know, and don't miss the off-ramp. I remember I heard this woman say once, I can never find Oceano. I can never find the off-ramp.
It is marked when you go north. It is marked to get off at Los Perros.
I know. That's right. You know, looking
lucky,
for the off-ramp.
Lucky you.
May I ask a question about this? This is being sent to the regional water management agencies only?
Actually, it's the president's discretion at this point in time. Certainly, I would expect it would go to the Regional Water Management Group.
Yes.
At the county, but the president's discretion on how to present it to others. President has wide discretion on that matter. I have provided some input, which would be perhaps start with the city council member who is on the RWMG and at the RAC and IRWM. And you know, it's one of those things where letters say one thing, but then how you actually go and talk to people about it is completely
right.
A different issue.
Right. So correct.
Maintaining the nice professional
decorum
approach that we have established is always good.
You know
good.
How they worry about
thank
me,
you for clarifying.
So. It's pretty scripted.
No, I appreciate. I think as a policy matter, this is the right thing to do, and you know, we can all agree to disagree, but we're doing it civilly, and I appreciate that. So,
all right, thank you.
Well, and you know, Matt, I think that's a good point because when we're in an effort of consensus building and collaboration, it doesn't mean that we always agree on everything,
right?
And so sometimes votes have to come down that aren't always 100%, but again, consensus building is to address issues that we disagree on in an appropriate civil type of a manner so that the outcomes are ones that we reach in group decisions and that everybody at least believes that their perspective has been heard by the others.
And you can agree
that's
to disagree.
All we're
asking. Yeah.
Right.
That's all I feel that we are asking for.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Floyd definitely has that sense about him that he's it's not his first rodeo, I don't think, either. So,
make sure that we're not going to come and yell at him or anything like that, city council.
I know your bosses. So.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Floyd. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay. It's any utility items? None? No hearings?
We have.
Heard out?
Close
anybody
session.
Write to us?
What is this?
Well, we did receive that communication. I thought we had already considered. Maybe
okay.
I'm mistaken.
This?
I thought we'd already considered that, though.
I thought we already considered that one. This is Mr.
The Pelton. Claim is a follow-up from a prior item, and that's what Mr. Minnery will introduce for closed session.
Okay, great.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. And then... Do you want to announce closed session? Do we want to do the public comment before we go into closed session
yes.
So people can go? So at this time, I'll open up public comment for closed session items.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, doesn't appear to be any.
Do you want to speak, tell them what the closed session items
sure,
are?
Sure, I do. Okay, the board will adjourn to closed session. Two items pursuant to Government Code 54956.93, Conference District Council regarding receipt of a claim pursuant to a Government Claims Act, and item B, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, Conference with Legal Counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District.
Okay, and this time I'll take public comment on any closed item sessions. I mean, topics. Okay, hearing none, it's closed. Where is my hair tie?